Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed? Like you're just an Uber driver to your kids' endless appointments? Do you wonder, is this all there is? Stop driving around and try something different. Book in with Body and Mind Online for expert speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychologist and counselors via telehealth. I founded Body and Mind Online 5 years ago, and it has since been one of the most inclusive therapy centers in the country. This podcast is my passion project. But I've realized that by not openly recommending Body and Mind Online, I'm leaving many of you to navigate the daunting task of finding the right providers on your own. Stop the struggle and get the support that you and your family deserve. Visit adhdmums.com.au and visit the services page to take the first step forward towards a balanced life with Body and Mind Online. Welcome to the ADHD Mums Podcast, a safe place for everyday Australian mums to discuss their struggles with ADHD, motherhood and life. Hello and welcome to the next episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have Rebecca. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm good, thank you, Jane.
We are talking today about medication and trouble. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Rebecca, you came out of the Facebook group, didn't you?
Yep.
And what was it in regards to the post?
I think it was someone was commenting about trying to get their medication and having troubles, and I just commented about my struggles with being in different states and getting medication, and I mentioned I could do a whole podcast about this, and here we are.
You've jogged my memory. I remember what it was now, and this is how long we've been trying to do this podcast, Rebecca, because I was down in Tassie in December for Christmas, and I ran out of Vyvanse on Christmas Eve. That's what happened. And you can imagine staying with your family at Christmas is quite a hypersensitive, like everyone's on emotions. We had a lot of kids all between us and there was a lot going on and I ran out of Vyvanse. I had a script, didn't think it was a big deal. I'd been to the doctor beforehand and it was all fine. And I went to fill the script Christmas Eve and they said, oh no, you can't because it's not in state law. And I thought I was gonna blow my fucking fuse. And my only option was to go to an emergency department on Christmas Eve, which I don't know how I would have told my family because they didn't know I was on ADHD medication. It's a whole thing. And I think I was blowing off steam in the Facebook group and you commented. So this episode today is based on medication and travel and Rebecca's probably response to my vent on Facebook about how shit it was. And then I suppose I started thinking, well, hang on a second, how hard is this for people? And what is this really like and what can we do to change it? So Rebecca is here. It has taken us around about 9 months to do this episode, which seems about standard for me in my timing. And Rebecca is a teacher and a mum of two young children. She's been traveling Australia for 8 months, living with neurodiversity, both mum and child, in a 19-foot caravan. I want to talk about the struggles of traveling and navigating different states in Australia with ADHD and medication. This is going to be really exciting. Let's kick straight off. I wanted to just get a bit of a lay of the land in terms of how long you've had ADHD and how long you've been doing the whole pharmacy thing, et cetera, with kids before we get started.
Yeah, cool. So I have a bit of an interesting ADHD diagnosis journey. So it actually goes way back to when I was in primary school. I reckon I was about 8 or 9 and my parents actually sent me to the doctors and went through a process of getting assessment for absent seizures. So they thought I was zoning out a lot. I was not paying attention. I was like vacant, like no one was there. And so they went through this process. I went to a specialist. I had an EEG. That's the one where they put all the sticky dots on your brain, on your scalp, and they look at your brain waves. And so it came back that there was no issues or any seizure activity or anything. But what they did say is that I had an overactive left side of the brain. Now, this is in the 90s. And so ADHD was sort of just a thing for boys. And what they said is that it could be supported with stimulant medication, though. I mean, ADHD, there are notes about the left brain, right brain dominance. So it's likely that I actually had what we now call inattentive ADHD. But my parents were trying to do the right thing and they didn't like the idea of stimulant medication back then. They said, no, thank you very much, and moved on. And I actually only found out this information as an adult. Like, I remember doing the EEG, but I don't remember them actually being told that information because I never knew. Fast forward many years later, struggled through university, all those things, and had kids of my own. My son had the diagnosis when he was about 4 or 5, I think it was. And then COVID hit and everyone was starting to struggle. There was a lot of information out there on social media, TikTok, all those things. And it wasn't just that, it was actually an argument that my husband and I had about son. And he said, "Oh, it probably came from you." And I'm like, "You're probably right." And so I looked into it, even though he actually has more ADHD on his side of the family, ironically. I looked into it and I started reading because this is 2020 and this is where all this information was coming out. And I was like, oh my goodness, that explains me so much. So I started saying to a few people, I think I want to get assessed for ADHD. And I did. And I went through the process and got formally diagnosed as an adult in 2021 at 31 years old. So yeah.
Congratulations.
I've been trialing different medications. I still don't know if I found that sweet spot, but at the moment I have no ability to work through that because I can't get my medication while I'm traveling. So I haven't had medication since December last year.
Oh my God. Okay,
Yeah.
so let's clarify straight up what medications you are dealing with on the road. Like, what ones are you looking to get?
Vyvanse, both for my son and I. So my son's on 30 milligrams and I'm on 30 milligrams as well.
Okay, I'd love to go there, but I'm going to hold myself back slightly for a moment. So, people are probably wondering because the first thing I thought of when you said you didn't have any Vyvanse, I'm very attached to my Vyvanse. I petitioned the government on Vyvanse. I talk about Vyvanse all the time, and I advocate really strongly for people with kids with Vyvanse. Sometimes, if they're not taking it themselves, the pediatrician will say, have a break on the weekend or the school holidays. I have a slightly different take on it as my opinion that I think brain functioning is good to be consistent every day. It's unfair on a person to give it to them one day and not the next sporadically, especially if they're young and they can't articulate for themselves. That's just my opinion. I suppose it depends on how much they're eating, blah, blah, blah. That's not the right decision for everybody. I understand medication breaks are important for people, but it's very difficult, I think, to go through life on and off. My first thought is when you said you hadn't had Vyvanse since December last year, I thought, why don't you not go home? How is it all working with full-time travel, lifestyle, ADHD, and not having meds?
It's been a challenge for sure. Like I was saying before, though, I still haven't found my sweet spot with the ADHD meds. I'm still working on that journey. It's definitely for my son, though. I don't think he's had a day since he started taking his meds that he hasn't had medication. And so my priority has always been for him to be medicated, and I've sort of taken the back burner because I feel like it's less important for me. I certainly will cope even less if he's not medicated.
Oh, I agree. I agree. We had the same situation here in Queensland. We couldn't get any. I had two kids, and I was like, well, I'm never going to get any because I've got to do two before me. Yeah, totally. So, if you're a teacher, do you work on the road? How does it go?
No, I haven't been working. I have considered doing some work on the road, but I don't think it's really benefiting us. So I might look into it in the future.
Is that because you're on a 12-month trip?
Yeah. So the plan is 12 months, but we're looking to potentially extend that. But we certainly have moments where we're like, let's just pack up and leave. Our backstory is actually we're from Victoria originally, and we're planning to move up to Queensland. And so we've taken this 12 or so months to get up to Queensland by very long, unique way, which is actually, we're not the only one. There's actually quite a lot of people on the road that have sold up and are looking for a new location to find as home.
Oh, that's
Interesting.
so funny. I went away in the van with my kids. I was diagnosed, but I didn't think it was a big deal, air quotes. So I didn't bother with medication because, I didn't need it, which so ridiculous looking back. And then all my kids were undiagnosed and it was just neurodivergent, crazy caravan life, which was really tough actually. And we went from the sunny coast because I was open to moving. And then we went the whole way around and we were like, we're just going to go back to the sunny coast. We just love it there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding a new lifestyle up in Queensland eventually when we get there. We had the same situation. Our very first challenge with medication came about in Tasmania, actually, ourselves. And prior to this big trip, last year we went to Tasmania for a month in our camper trailer. And similar situation, I had intended to get an extra dose of his before we left, but everything was crazy in the lead up. Took his script over there. We only had like about 4 or 5 days where he wasn't going to have medication, and got over there, went to fill the script, and the pharmacist sorry, can't do it. I'm like, what do you mean? I had a full meltdown in the chemist, and the pharmacist was actually really amazing. He's like, I wish I could, morally, I wish I could, but I can't. We knew at that point we were going to be traveling, and I'm like, what on earth do I do next year? Like, I'm going to be traveling through multiple states. Like, how the heck do I get his medication? And so he was really great and gave me some suggestions for future planning.
So, what is kind of the major issues for people that are unaware around travel and states and legislation?
I've found that each state is very different. I'm from Victoria. My understanding is a lot of our Victorian scripts can't be filled in other states. So far, we've been to Tasmania, we've been to South Australia, we've been to WA, we've just crossed the border to Northern Territory, and I'm not even sure what the challenges are yet for that. I'm about to find out. We've just filled a new script in WA before we crossed the border. So I at least have a month to navigate what that looks like in the Northern Territory. But prior to us leaving, because I had this information from Tasmania, thank goodness I had already had this experience, I spoke to my pediatrician and also my psychiatrist and got special permissions. They call it Regulation 49. It previously was called Regulation 24, but it's now called Regulation 49. So it gives you the ability, even on these higher classification of drugs, to be able to dispense more than one at one time. But there has to be certain rules or guidelines to it. I've got a couple here so you can actually understand. So you can request this if the maximum PBS quantity is insufficient for the patient's treatment and the patient has a chronic illness or lives in a remote area where access to PBS supplies are limited. And the patient would suffer great hardship trying to get the pharmaceutical benefit on separate occasions. So my pediatrician saw this as we would be in remote locations, it would be very hard to get the medication, and it was unrealistic for us to either fly or travel back to Victoria to get the medication. So she was able to apply for this and was able to get it. So we actually managed to get a 6 month subscription. So this is where it gets messed up. So I also got the 6 month permission for my medication, and so did my son. And we got his 20 milligrams of Vyvanse dispensed 6 months, like at once. And I went to go get mine dispensed. It was in December last year. I don't know if you remember the shortage. I couldn't get mine. I went to five different chemists all across Victoria, all the way up to Albury Wodonga before we actually left the border, tried to get mine. And as soon as I crossed the border, I couldn't get it.
That's bad timing. Bad timing for you to leave for the trip right in that shortage.
Yeah.
So let's just pretend there was no shortage and you went to go and then you've got the 6 month grant. I actually think that's pretty good. That was better than what I thought it would be. But do you then have to go home after 6 months? What if you're doing 12 months?
Gets a bit more complex. So I've actually been able to get Elliot's medication. His pediatrician has the ability to prescribe to someone in another state. So what we've been able to work around the system with our pediatrician, and I have given them an address in Western Australia. I have a friend who lives in WA, and I used her address. And I said that that was my address, and she was able to, through telehealth, do our appointment and prescribe to that address. And I've been able to, while I'm in WA, get his dispense because our address is in WA. However, unfortunately, this is where it's so complex. My psychiatrist cannot prescribe in a different state. He can only prescribe in Victoria. So I tried that option for myself when I was like, you know what, I'm struggling. I really would like to get this medication. And he couldn't change the address and get it changed to WA, and I couldn't get it dispensed still. They did actually give me an option of potentially getting somebody else to dispense my medication on my behalf. But then it becomes a whole new complex thing because you're trying to post 6 months worth of medication. I don't get the logic. Like, they're saying I can't get a script in UA, but your friend can go pick up 6 months of these highly classed drugs and send them via post to you.
That seems weird. What if it got lost? What if your friend took them? What if it was a friend that
Exactly.
doesn't know very well? And then you've had 6 months dispensed. I bet you don't have it. So you just have
Yeah.
to wait 6 months
Yeah.
because it's been stolen, basically.
Yeah.
That's
They did
bizarre.
stipulate you would have to have someone very close that you really do trust, obviously. I really problem solved all these issues before we left for this trip. And I'm grateful that we had the 6 month medication because it bought us a bit of time for our son.
Because a lot of people would have left and not known. They would have just left blindly and gone, oh, here I am. I'm now in Adelaide.
100%.
And there's no meds.
So some people, I have spoken to some other people who have traveled as well, and they've done a similar thing. So they've gotten 1 month dispensed at a time and then get it posted. But when you're in remote locations, like we've been up in the very top of Western Australia, and the post takes 3 to 4 weeks to get there. So if you can't dispense a certain amount of days before your next one's due, if you have to wait till that, get someone to dispense it and then post it, you're still days without medication, which is what my fear actually was.
I think it's almost better, correct me if I'm wrong, to just go without for a whole month than to like be on, off. That would do my head in.
So I haven't had any medication, like I said, since December, and I don't know when I'm going to get it again, because now I have to forward plan because we're moving states, and I'm aware of hearing other people's stories of the challenges of having to get re-diagnosed in different states, which is a whole nother challenge.
Yes. And I noticed somebody else wrote in the Facebook group about that because they were changing psychiatrist and then they had to go through a reassessment, which they didn't want to do for like time and just like mental health. They just didn't want to go through it again or also be told they don't have it and the expense. It's like, this is ridiculous. Like, you've got my bloody letters, you've got all the stuff there. So then, yes, I know going into Queensland, you often have to get reassessed.
So I'm at the point now where I'm wondering whether I just start that process now and try and deal with it on the road and then try and get my medication. I was doing okay at in quotation marks at the start of the trip, but I think it stopped feeling like a holiday and it was everyday life, and you have to do everyday mundane things. Like the shopping is so complex because every supermarket you go into is different. It's laid out differently. The products are different spots. Sometimes you can do click and collect, sometimes you can't. A lot of the time I actually do go into store because I also use that as my time away from the kids as a break to get some downtime. But simple things like that take a lot more brain space. When you're in remote areas, for example, you have to do shopping for 2 or 3 weeks. And that's when I started really going, oh, I'm really struggling. I feel like having my medication would really help this process.
Yeah, and there's also like anxiety around, like, my kids are very specific with what they'll eat. And that's not great because food doesn't last that long. And what you're talking about, like 2 or 3 weeks, we had the same issue. So we would just run out of something because you can't buy enough of it because it would spoil or whatever it is. Or everyone would eat all the good stuff in the first week. Then you have 2 weeks to go and you're just on noodles and stuff and everyone's freaking out if there's no access. So if you make a mistake in that moment, it's got a big impact. So let's go back for a moment to the why. Like, why is it so complicated to get medication? I don't get it. Why has the government made it like that?
I don't know. It's not even just medication that the government makes things difficult, even with my teaching degree, right? So from state to state, I've looked into doing teaching, but I have to jump through their hoops. I have to get mutual recognition. I have to pay their registration fee. I feel like the government really undoes us as a country because they have different rules and regulations in different states. And it would be so much easier to streamline it, to have Australia-wide things and make it so much more accessible. I understand that this classification of drug is challenging, and I get that there's a lot of mistreatment and misuse and all that, but surely there has to be a better way.
It forces people to do things that are really not great because they're desperate and they've got no way of doing it properly, air quoting properly. But I see people complaining, and I complain myself too, all the time in their own state, in their own house, struggling to get medication. We previously, well, I still take Vyvanse, but my kids were on Vyvanse, and we've kind of moved a bit more onto the Insuir, which is that non-stimulant ADHD drug. One of the reasons that we did that was because the Vyvanse shortage was doing my fucking head in. I can't stand it. And also, the coverage is only kind of 8 to 12 hours. So, when you've got kids that are very much needing it all the time, I don't need to tell you that. So, that was one of the reasons we chose to move to Intuiv. But I really felt this sense of relief when I did that because I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to no longer feel like a criminal in the pharmacy. I'm going to be able to track it better. They're going to give me lots of tablets, and I'm not going to be in this position of like stress constantly, right? No, that didn't happen at all. The Intuiv, which is a drug that you cannot make anything out of that I'm aware, is under the same stipulations. So we've got four of us in our family on that, all on different scripts, all on different times, all on different doses. So whenever I turn up to the pharmacy, I have no idea of how many I've got. She's like, how many is in the packet? I'm like, I don't fucking know. if everyone's on the similar looking tablet and it's like three of them are on 1 milligram or whatever it is, I'm obviously not going to go to that kid's box. Like, what ADHD person does that specifically from each box and then counts it and remembers it and goes to the pharmacy? I'm like, I just go through one box of 1 milligram for one kid or whatever it is. I don't even look at the names. And she's like, can't fathom that I don't know. And I'm like, how can you not fathom? I've got three kids in this pharmacy running psycho. Why would I know? But I just can't even fathom trying to do that with an address and getting it posted. With the delays, I couldn't even figure out like how to get toothbrushes from Kmart when we were in caravan trip, let alone what you're dealing with. I can't get over it.
Fortunately, we have the benefit that only technically one of us is on medication because I can't get mine. So I have actually had to count out his medication, then determine whether we have enough to get to the next place that will have a pharmacy. Because there's towns that are so small, they don't have pharmacies. I recently did that. I counted out how many we had left, I think four or five just before we're about to cross the border. So I said, I've got to go to this town and get it today. And if I forgot, man, I would be in trouble now because I think he's just about to start his new box. And I have no idea yet what that Northern Territory challenge is going to be. Hopefully, it's the same and I can change the address and make my address now in Northern Territory and it'll be okay. But I don't know yet. And so there's been times where I've had to literally count out his medication and then figure out if I'm going to be in a town that has a pharmacy to make sure I get the medication. And then hope that they actually have it too. That's the other thing. And thankfully, we haven't had that issue since December, where they had the shortage.
So for people that aren't traveling long term, let's say they just go, I'm going to go to Sydney for 2 weeks. I'm going to go to Melbourne. And they just leave, assuming that there's pharmacies down there. I'll take the script, no problems. And they get faced with this out of nowhere. Like it's just basically, you just got to figure it out when you get stuck.
Yeah, you really have to forward plan and make sure you don't do what I did the first time in Tasmania and think that it's okay to fill your script. You have to go to see your specialist, your psychiatrist, your pediatrician, whoever it is, and get them to give you the written permission to get an extra dosage. I think usually an extra one bottle is not as difficult to get in those travel circumstances. So when you are traveling for a shorter amount of time, they're more likely to give you that extra 1 month. Beyond that, with the regulation 49, I think it is a bit more complex, I believe. I don't know what the process is for them. I think they have to ring up and talk to someone and actually essentially apply for it, I suppose. I'm not really sure, but there are ways around it, but you've got to be proactive because if you're not, then you're stuck in the middle of nowhere without your medication.
So let's just play this out. So let's say I'm going to go to Sydney at Christmas. We've been to the ped and she's given us a script until March. So if I go anywhere between now and March, because I can only go month to month, then I have to book back in with her before the trip, ask for an extra box, hope that she says yes, pay the fees if I can get in. Is that the steps?
I would email my pediatrician. I have the access to be able to email her. I don't know whether she would make me have another appointment. If you've had those appointments, they might be able to give you the special permission via a letter or an email without actually going face to face. But that may be the case for some people. Some people might have to rebook in another pediatrician or another psychiatrist appointment to get that permission.
So you have to be aware that there's a problem, which no one really talks about. Plan for the problem. Book in. I've had to do like a bit of a funny repeat script thing before with the ped. And I was a bit, I'll say it, annoyed because she made me book in for a telehealth and I had to have my kid with me. And I was like, why? To get the Medicare rebate, apparently. She rang me and she's like, hello. And I was like, I've already emailed. I just want the repeat. It was a 2 minute phone call. I paid for a 15 minute consult. I had to beg for the appointment. For this tiny thing that was actually an error from her with her admin because we were out of meds. So I'm just trying to imagine the load on the ADHD brain, especially you're not even medicated, to try and figure this all out to get access to something that you legally can have.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. For me, I would have to put a bajillion reminder messages in my phone because I would forget. And that's how I forgot in Tasmania because I actually kind of thought about it and thought I should probably try and get the permission to get an extra box because I have some limited knowledge with the challenges of this classification of drugs. So I thought it might be potentially a little bit challenging, but I didn't think that they wouldn't be able to give it to me. So you have to make sure you don't get too busy and forget to get that permission to then get the script before you leave. It's a lot.
And then you're banking on the fact that wherever you are is going to have some and another box, because that may not happen when you're remote.
Yeah, that's true. I would probably recommend trying to get it at home before you actually travel. So sort that out and, speak to your ped or psychiatrist, whoever is prescribing for you, and say, we're going away. I need an extra box, or I need an extra dosage. Can you help me get this sorted? And then get them both filled at the same time before you leave.
Just it actually makes me feel fatigued thinking about it, to be honest. And especially because I've traveled too. And I'm like, by the time you book the caravan site, all the days when we traveled, it was COVIDy. It was just like COVIDy was kind of finishing. And remember, everyone's on the road. There was no caravans. Like there was no availability. So we couldn't get in anywhere. So everything was just forward planning, forward planning, forward planning. Just felt exhausting. So what would you like to see change?
Right from the start, I would like to see ADHD actually not so challenging to get diagnosed in the first place. That's where I would start. I think the challenge is hearing from other people, the hoops and the barriers that they have to jump through to get diagnosis. And it's also so different. Everyone goes to see some psychiatrists as an adult and they get diagnosed like the first session. Some people have to go 4 or 5 times before they get their diagnosis. So I don't think that's fair. Why does one person have to pay $300 a session and pay for four of those before they get diagnosis, and somebody else has to pay a different fee and they get their diagnosis in one go? That would be the first thing, make diagnosis so much easier. And then the next thing is the medication more accessible, easier to get from state to state, and not having these shortages. I don't understand why we're still having these shortages after nearly 2 years. Obviously, there is a great need for this, and if someone has deemed you to be able to have this medication, it shouldn't be such a barrier. It shouldn't be so complex. I'd like to see everyone who is in need of this medication be able to get it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just so tricky because the medication's so difficult to get. It's all on the timers and everything, and the process is just completely not ADHD friendly. And that's what you need to go through to get it. And then I always just think about the kids that don't have a family member that's able to afford a script or a diagnosis. So, for example, I had basically no ability to ever have anything correct with any of my kids until I was diagnosed and medicated myself. I just couldn't do it. People would tell me that the strategies, I knew what they were, but I was unable to implement at all. And it was only through getting diagnosed and medicated myself that I was able to coordinate to get my own children sorted out. So, I always feel for the kids that the mum doesn't have the funds or the time or the energy or the education, the knowledge that that's what they need to do, and then they don't ever get their kid diagnosed and medicated and sorted out. And again, it's not about medication all the time.
Yeah, and I know some people, like, I'm sympathetic to the parents that questioning whether stimulant medication is right or any type of medication is right for the child. It's such a tricky thing. At the start, when Elliot got his diagnosis, I was very much on the fence and I didn't really want to give him medication, but it became so hectic that it was basically our only option. And then I actually saw the impact that it had. And it was during COVID times and he was at school, and I have a writing sample, and I've kept that writing sample from 2 days apart where he was medicated and when he wasn't medicated. And the difference was astronomical. Like, he had a beautifully formed sentences, like 6 sentences of writing and a beautiful picture. The next day, he wasn't on his medication. And this was because we were about to change medications. Our pediatrician suggested that we have a couple of days break and then start on a new one, which I don't agree with anymore. So I feel for those people, and I'm an advocate now because I've seen the benefits that it's had in a school environment. And hopefully
Yeah.
one day I'll get the benefit too.
One day. Yeah, I did an episode from skeptic to advocate where I had the same experience. I will not do that. My kid doesn't need it. They're not bad enough, air quoting all that. But then when it was explained to me about neuroplasticity and I actually tried it with them, I feel like there's a lot of people, myself included, that held up that judgment. I'm not going to do that. And then once I did it, I couldn't believe that I'd left it for so long. I do want to ask one last question. Are there any tips or tricks for traveling that you would like to share before we finish up?
Yeah. So a lot of it's just that plan ahead for your medication, what we just talked about. Make sure you speak to your healthcare people, the psychs, pediatricians, whoever, to get that special permission. Ask about that Regulation 49. Ask if it's a possibility to be able to get that so you can not be without your medication. And be prepared when you go to remote areas. If you're going to travel long term, like we have, you might have to do the whole counting of how many tablets have we got? Can we get one now? I guess the benefit, I suppose, in some ways, because we are going to different pharmacies, they don't really have record of when we last had it dispensed. So we have had moments where I think we're technically with outside of that window of however many days you're not supposed to get it dispensed, but they don't have record of that. So it hasn't really mattered too much. So that's been a benefit, I suppose. There was one pharmacy that wrote on the actual box or the script, but I don't take my medication in and show them, so it didn't even make any difference. So be prepared when you go to remote areas. Make sure that you can have a pharmacy that will have it. That might mean ringing up ahead, and I have done that too. I've rang ahead to see if they've got medication before you go in. And I think for us, it's also about trying to access support while we're still traveling. At the start, in the past, you said like speech OT and psychology and stuff, and that sort of cut off. But I've just recently started making the decision that actually it might be good to have that extra support. So we've just started going through that process of getting a new psychologist for him, maybe try and do some stuff online. And I've gone through Body and Mind. We started that process, and I didn't even know that that existed until that podcast a few weeks ago. And as soon as you said that, I was like, great, this is a great opportunity. We're headed to Queensland. It might work for face to face potentially in the future. I started the process, and we've just recently had our first appointment, which has been really good. And I think prioritizing time for yourself is a massive one. So for me, even though it sucks because I hate doing the shopping, but I go in store and do the shopping. I put my headphones on. I listen to a podcast, some quite often ADHD mums, and I shop around, and it gets rid of all that stimulus. But I get a bit of a break from the chaos of the kids and dealing with all that. And we make sure that we have allowed days like for downtime, because there's so many days where you go, go, go. You're trying to see all these things, and the kids get to a point where they just lose it. And we just had that recently. We've had a big couple of weeks. We had a big day of travel, not yesterday, the day before. We were in the car for 4.5, 5 hours. And the last 2 days have been quite horrific behavior wise. It's been hectic, and having some downtime where the kids can choose what they want to do, but also have no plan.
So, if anyone's listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, is caravan life for me? And they're an ADHD mum, what would you say to them?
It's so tricky. We've met quite a few other families that are traveling, whether it's short term, long term, with kids that have ADHD or other neurodiverse challenges. It's been more than I actually thought there would be. It is so challenging, though. And don't get me wrong, there's been times where we've been like, oh, I've had enough. Let's just beeline it for Queensland. Like, I need that routine because you're with them 24/7. There's no escaping them. You're their teacher, you're their parent, you're their entertainment sometimes. But then you get moments where you're with other traveling families and the kids make good connections and they entertain themselves. So you get a breather at times. So I think it's not a one size fits all. You really have to think about how you feel when you do go on holidays, but then think it's not a holiday, because it's not. It's actually pet hate when people go, how's your holiday going? I'm like, it's not a holiday. It's our lifestyle at the moment, temporarily. We still have the same challenges. Elliot still has outbursts. He still tries to kick dents in the car and break things in the caravan because he can't control his emotions. I still have meltdowns and have moments where you yell at your kids, and then you've got people around you watching and listening, and it's pretty full on. But I don't regret traveling. I have met some families, though, that have neurodiverse kids, and they have given up partway through. But if you are wanting to travel for longer term, I'd suggest having a trial run, especially before buying a caravan. Hire a caravan, give it a go for a couple of weeks, see if you can handle living in a small space with your family and not kill each other. That's always the goal.
Like just get out of it like alive and like still married or still together with your partner and like everyone's alive. Win.
And if we get to see amazing parts of Australia, that's just the bonus, hey.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Rebecca. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jane. Thank you for having me. It's been great to share our experiences.
Oh, definitely.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like. I'm so excited to share something with you. I started this podcast because I kept having the same conversations about ADHD and mum life with friends. But then after I started the podcast, the same requests for more information in writing kept popping up in my DMs and Facebook group. That's why I created the ADHD Mums Shop, a place where you can grab the answers to your biggest questions. These guides are straightforward, no fluff, no upsells, no one-to-one, no courses, just the answer to your question that you're asking. If you want a topic added, shoot me an email. Jump in and check it out.